Good morning, church. They let me preach and you still showed up. Amen? Come on, you give yourself a hand clap. I love you guys. Hallelujah. That's why we got donuts for you this weekend instead of donut holes. I just wanted to thank you before you came in here with some real carbs. Praise. I hope you like that. Hey, if you brought your Bibles, I hope you brought, bring your real Bibles. Bring your paper Bibles. I love the digital ones. I love my phone one. I use that every day. Serious. Like, I'm on a roll. Like, I can't remember how many days I've been on that thing. You ever keep track of that? Oh, no? Okay. But anyway, paper, there's something about a paper Bible. There's something about it. When I read my paper Bible and I highlight in my Bible, when I'm thinking of something or God reminds me of something, I actually remember where it is on the page. I might not remember the scripture, but it helps me find it later. And there's something about a paper Bible. But if you have your Bibles, please open up to two key places, Acts chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians 12. These are two main texts that I'm going to cover today. But just know right now, and so we're reading the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is kind of a cool place. If you're not familiar with the New Covenant, the New Testament, it starts off with four Gospels. And the four Gospels are literally four different people's perspective of Jesus' life and time on the earth while he was here. And so four different men wrote the four different Gospels. And then right after that is Acts. And Acts is literally where the church was birthed. And some people, some theologians call it the Acts of the Apostles. I think it's better. I think I've heard this, but it's Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church. Amen? So it's Acts of the Holy Spirit flowing through the church, and then this is what happens. And so this is where the church literally is birthed, but it takes off. It's explosive the way the church took off. So read with me in Acts 1, verse 4. I'm just going to get it rolling here. Once he, Jesus, was sitting with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then in verse 8, he says this. He goes, "I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be filled with power, and you will be my messengers." Okay, amen. Now, messengers are literally witnesses. Think of witness. If you had to tell someone about something, maybe you're in a court, you're actually in a court of law, a witness just literally tells what they saw. It's that simple. You don't have to make anything up. You just tell them what you saw. You're a witness. That's what we're called to do. We're witnesses here in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, and to the farthest ends of the earth. There it is. Jesus threw it out there. That's what we're called to do. We're called to reach our world and the world with the hope of Jesus Christ, eternal life in Jesus. That's what we got. That's the product. That's what God wants us to get out. And I know this can sometimes seem hopeless. Maybe even in your own home, maybe in your school, in your community, and it just seems like, man, Topper, but you don't know how hard it is. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody cares. And I get that. And sometimes we come up and we butt our heads on these so-called roadblocks, or what seems to be a roadblock. I mean, just in this generation right now, I've heard that they're not really atheistic, you know, like in my generation, or even between this generation, that generation, like atheistic, like against God. They're not even that. They just don't care. They don't care. Like, they don't read their Bible. They don't even know what, maybe some of them don't even know what a Bible is. At least when I was growing up, I maybe didn't read the Bible, but I knew what the Bible was. And you might say, well, see, it's impossible. Like, it's impossible, and we get intimidated, and we think, like, it's all over. And I'm just telling you, just so you know, like, every generation has had its what seems to be roadblocks. Every generation. And I want to encourage you, too, that way before people came on the earth, God was God. And then when he created people, God was still God. And then when the church was birthed, God was God. And today, in our day today, God is still on the throne, and he has a plan, he has a strategy, and he wants to reach this generation. Amen? And he's going to do it. He's going to use you and me. Now, John 14, 12, okay? When Jesus was still on this earth, okay? We're going to cover in the book of Acts. I'm going to get there, but first I want to read this promise. There's just this awesome, again, exploding growth in the book of Acts. And I want you to think, well, why? Why was there's this exploding growth? Like, what happened? How did that happen? We're going to talk about that today. But first, in John 14, Jesus is sitting with his disciples before he died. And he made this amazing, amazing promise. And I don't know if they probably had a hard time believing him if he was right. Because in John 14, 12, verse 12, he said this. He said, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with the Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. That is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. Will you pray with me, church? Dear God, right now, I pray that this text, this scripture, these words of yours are just sealed in our heart, God, that we don't believe it as an impossibility, but we know that it is possible because you said it. And today, Lord, if you're stirring in anyone's heart today for you, I pray that they respond. I pray that we respond right now in faith and receive the word you're about to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So they've given me this blessing and this honor. I'm speaking on week 3 of our Unpredictable series. Unpredictable, the Holy Spirit, unpredictable. The Holy Spirit is not predictable. I've heard the Celtic Christians have a nickname for the Holy Spirit. It's the wild goose. And it's not disrespectful. It's just, in their minds, they're like a wild goose. You can never tame it. And you never know where it's coming from and where it's going to go. And that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. He's just unpredictable. And today, I'm going to specifically talk about the hope of the church, the hope of reaching our lost cities by using and flowing and allowing God to work through us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And next week, Pastor Rob's going to have a fourth week. It's a bonus week, so don't miss next week. He's going to finish this all up. He's going to bring it all around. So I want you also to know that we can't possibly cover the topic of the Holy Spirit in a series on a weekend. It's just too big. It's too big of a topic. That's why twice a year we have the Holy Spirit Retreat or the Holy Spirit Day. We're going to have one every spring and fall. So if you haven't been a part of that, please put it in your calendar, put it on a reminder so that when we do talk about it, you're like, okay, I'm going. You got to give up a whole Saturday morning, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's part of our Alpha. If you haven't been a part of Alpha, Alpha is awesome. And if you haven't been through Alpha, I want you to sign up for Alpha. When it was one of the first things Sue and I did. When we heard about it, I had no clue what it was. I just knew it was good. And all summer long, I couldn't wait for September. So that was the first life group we did. And now I am an alphaholic. Alphaholic, not alcoholic. Alphaholic. But I still love teaching it today. I see it blessed. People are so blessed every time they go through it. And right smack dab in the middle of that, we do the Holy Spirit Retreat to talk about the Holy Spirit. Another great resource is this. Pastor Robert Morris leads a church down in Dallas, Texas, Gateway Church. And he's got the gift of teaching. And he has his own cool story with the Holy Spirit. This is called The God I Never Knew. And so this is an amazing book. We give this out to one amazing, blessed person on week 2 of next. Because we talk about the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's too big of a topic. And I just love that if people are trying to wrestle with this or figure it out, that they just read the book and read it for yourself and check it out and grow. So I titled this today, and you'll get it as I keep sharing, Alive and Active Faith. Alive and Active Faith. I want us to all live in, alive and active in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't noticed, I'm very passionate about this church, this campus specifically, that we get on mission to reach our lost people in our city. Amen? Yeah. Like, whatever you got to do, whatever. And I'm just saying, if you don't have the passion, that's okay. Start asking. Like, if you don't have this passion to reach lost people, that's a problem. Because we're saved, we can't just... love that we're saved. No, we have to get others saved. We have to have everybody else. We want to rescue. That's God. He's on mission. I came to seek and save the lost, and we have to be on that same mission. And I just want to give you encouragement. Our best marketing tool is not social media. So if you're terrible with Instagram and all that, you have hope. Praise God. I don't know if you know this, but when the church was birthed back in A.D., whatever, 30, whatever it was, there was no social media. We didn't even have the internet yet because Al Gore wasn't born yet. Praise God. Praise God. Sorry, it's a good joke. But just know this, that they had something we all have. They all had legs and they all had a mouth. And they all had a spirit to receive what God had to do in them. And when he did it, they couldn't help but go tell someone. That's what we're called to do. And I just put this, it's word of mouth when you've been personally impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. That gets it done. You can't help when God hits you, when you experience God, when you experience anything good, you can't help but go tell people. And I'm gonna just read off some. There's some awesome stories. When Jesus was on this earth, you need to know, like, there's multiple times where he couldn't hide from people, even when he tried. He'd even tell people, hey, don't tell anyone that you just got healed. And everybody's like, why did he do that? Well, because when they still went and told everybody, and then Jesus couldn't even go anywhere publicly because he was bombarded with people. So just here real quick, I'm going to fire off some. I want you to see this. Mark 7:24, it says, then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. Now this was outside of his normal region, his normal ministry. And it said he didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. He couldn't keep it a secret. Luke 4:42, it said early the next morning, Jesus went to an isolated place. He went out, way out in the boondocks. And the crowd searched for him everywhere. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave him. Not to leave them. John 4:29, it says, now this is the story of Jesus with a Samaritan woman at a well. And Jesus had a very brief conversation with her, but in that conversation, the Holy Spirit was flowing through Jesus, giving him words of knowledge for her, not to embarrass her, but to help her. And when he did that, she just was amazed, and she says she went running back to her village, and this is what she said. She said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. I hope you see the pattern here. It's just natural. It's naturally how we respond when we get affected and moved and Jesus ministers to us. We can't help but tell everyone how good God is. By word of mouth, people came to Jesus in masses. And this didn't just happen when Jesus was on earth. I really want to show you, like, this happened in the early church. After Jesus had died, resurrected, he was ascended into heaven. He's not on earth anymore. And in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit pours out on the 120 that were there praying and waiting on God. And the Holy Spirit pours out on them, and there's things, there's noises, there's things going on, they were speaking in tongues, and the crowd came, they're like, what is going on? And Peter steps up with the other apostles, and he explains what's happening to them. And then in that explanation, he says, this is prophesied a long time ago. This shouldn't be a surprise. And he shares the gospel, and they're cut to the heart. And in Acts 2:41, it says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 people. Amen? 3,000 people at all. Now in Acts 11, verse 20, it says this, however, some of the believers from Cyprus, time out, I don't know if you heard, but I'm leading Global Team Cyprus this year, and so yes, you can clap it up. So if you haven't been on a global team, one, you can come with me, and Sue will be on the trip, and Pastor Ryan Williams, and other cool people, and you can see a place where actually the Bible took place. So I want you to be blessed, so don't miss that. Sign up, there's not many places left. So, okay, back to the text. Acts 11, verse 20. However, some believers from Cyprus and Cyrene who had come to Antioch, Syria, preached to the non-Jews living there, proclaiming the message of salvation of the Lord, in the Lord. The mighty power of God was with them, and they ministered, and a large number of people believed, and their hearts turned to the Lord. Three key things from this text, okay? All the believers in the earlier church, they were so on fire for God, they were like missionaries. Like, they all lived like missionaries. They'd be persecuted in this place, they'd run to another place. The persecution didn't keep them from, but they'd tell people. They couldn't help but tell people about Jesus. No matter where they went, they were telling people about Jesus. They just preached. And then they also ministered in the power of the Lord. They were ministering to people. They were helping people get well. And what's cool is the result was a large number believed. Amen? Amen. Acts 13:44, it says this. Now Paul and Barnabas, they were in Antioch, okay? And they were preaching. And the following week, it says, the following week, nearly everyone in the city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Could you imagine if everyone in Eagan and Mendota Heights and Inver Grove Heights, everyone in our community all of a sudden just showed up on a Sunday? Can you imagine? Like, we got to get speakers, like, in TVs on the outside of the building so that we can get them all the message, amen? Like in towel rags because it's going to be sweating today. But wouldn't that be cool? I mean, we might have a parking problem, but that's a good problem. Just imagine that. I mean, it happened. Look at later, it says, as a result of their ministry while they were there, as the people all showed up, as a result, it says in verse 49, God's word spread like wildfire throughout the whole entire region. Wildfire. Praise God. It couldn't be stopped. Again, I hope you see the pattern of what's happening in the church when it's operating in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to today. That's what we're called to. Now let me reread the promise that Jesus said in John 14, verse 12. It says, I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to the Father. When he went to the Father, he sent the promised Holy Spirit. He sent it. And I just pray that right now you grab hold of this and you believe this. One time I was praying and I was reading this verse, and all of a sudden I just sensed the Holy Spirit say to me, Aaron, do you realize, like, these are my words? And that just hit me. It was like, yeah, like, you're right. Like, it was Jesus saying, these are my words. Sometimes I read the Bible and I disconnect and I forget who's talking to me. It's God. He's talking to me. And he said this, and he meant it when he said it. So I just want to know, like, when it comes to evangelism, okay, my former style of evangelism, when I got saved, I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Like, I just want everybody to know about Jesus. And I would read books on evangelizing. I would watch different ways to share my faith. And then I would go out and try to do that every day. I was like, it was scary. Like, I'd literally get up in the morning. I was like, okay, who am I going to share my faith with today? Like, whatever I did, whoever, I'd run into someone, I'd start telling about Jesus. It was very stressful. I just want you to know. Because I was like, I was doing it on my own strength, and it was stressful, and it got really awkward at times. But, you know, I got better. Let me ask you this. How many of you are natural salesperson, or you just, like, you know someone, they're just amazing at selling stuff? I'm thinking of my stepmom, Nancy. Okay, my stepmom Nancy, my dad's here today. He'll amen all this stuff. She like sells everything. Like, she'll sell you your own portrait on your wall at your home. Like, she's just good at it. And the reason why she's so good is she knows everybody. And then she, like, when she's blessed by something, she just wants you to be blessed. So she tries to talk you into having it. Like, all I can think of, I don't know why this one keeps, it's just one of the funniest moments with her. She had a loaf of bread. She was like a bread, like, expert or whatever. She would buy, like, different types of bread. And she's like, Aaron, have you tried this bread? And she would, like model it and stuff for me or squeeze it. And I'm like, no, not now. Like, no, I don't need bread. Her latest, now this is the latest, but this is my favorite, is Quick Trip ice cream. Praise God. She don't have to sell me on that. I am going. Like, she just said it, and I'm like, boom, I'm gone. Like, I'll buy it. Whatever. So if you haven't experienced Quick Trip ice cream, listen to Nancy. But now, I think back to the story with the bread, though. I mean, I still wish I was oversaved then, like I was now, like I am now. But I could have totally owned this thing. Like, I would have said to her, hey, Nance, I have bread. If you were to eat of it, you'd never hunger again. Let's pray. Praise God. Hey, but how many of you, just honest, I'm intimidated to share my faith. Like, it's intimidating sharing my faith. And I want you to know, you don't have to be an expert, okay? And you don't have to be intimidated. You just need to be full. Full of the Holy Spirit. When he fills you with his Holy Spirit, he just gave you the solution to your problem. Yes. If your problem is getting the gospel into your neighborhood, into your school, into whatever, He has the solution. He gave us a promise for the Holy Spirit. And when He equips you, when He equips the called, when He gives you the Holy Spirit, He just equipped you with power, with boldness, with confidence, with strength, with courage, with words. Whatever it takes, He has equipped you. And He does it through the power of the promised Holy Spirit. He promised the gift. The gift was the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the gifts. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The Apostle Paul had to correct the Corinthian church because they were misusing some of the gifts. And he had to help them understand also that in their time and in their day, where their culture was, there was like a lot of lowercase g gods, idols. They were gods. There was a god for everything. There was a god for this, god for that, a god for yoga, a god for ice cream, a god for bread. You know, there's just different gods for different things. And so God had to help them understand that this God, the God we worship, is one God, multiple different facets. One God, multiple different ways that He works in and through a believer. And the word gift is an amazing word. It's a cool word. It's where we get the word charismatic. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're a charismatic church. And you maybe don't go out and tell everyone that, like in the grocery store or whatever. But charismatic kind of has a negative connotation, but it's actually a good thing. We're a Spirit-filled, Bible-believing church. We believe that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit is for the church today. It's our hope and our source of our power. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we live in the Holy Spirit, that's when God can really move and break through, break chains, break anything that the enemy has put in the way of your family, your friends, and anyone you want to reach. Amen? Amen. That's what we're called to do. That's what we do. Charismatic is actually one of the most wonderful words in the world. It comes from this word, charismatic. We get it from charisma. We get it from the Greek word charismata. And this Greek word literally means grace gift. And I know it sounds redundant because every real gift is a gift of grace. I mean, if you get a gift and it's like you earned it, well, that's not really a gift. I mean, it's like a payment or something, you know? So grace gift, but I believe God wanted it to be redundant. Charismatic, I got this definition, I actually got it out of this book. Charisma is, check this out, the instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer to exercise a gift for the edification of others. Let me read that again. It's an instantaneous enablement of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer to exercise a gift for the edification of others. You can say amen to that. That's how the Holy Spirit works in us. And we're going to read this, and I want you to really grab hold of what Paul is sharing in 1 Corinthians 12. Here's our main text. I'm going to read it, and then we'll break it down. 1 Corinthians 12:4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God works in all for all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Amen. It's for all of us. It's for the profit of all. When the Holy Spirit flows through me, it's for you. When the Holy Spirit flows through you, it's for me. It's awesome. God does that. Now, verse 8. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, the gift of faith, same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, works of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, different types of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. To another, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing each one individually as He wills. How many of you love gifts? Just be honest. You love gifts. Gifts, love language, yep, praise. Me too. Me too. I love Christmas. And if anyone tries to tell me that we don't need to give gifts at Christmas, I disagree. Big time. Like, I know Jesus was our greatest gift. I still want a gift. Like, I love gifts. I love giving gifts. I really do. I really do. I'm just bad at getting them sometimes. But I love giving gifts. But I love getting gifts. And I just think of, have you ever had a gift off with someone? You're just like, wow. Like, you know, my father-in-law used to get in these gift wars, and they weren't serious gifts. They were pranks. And he would give good gifts and set me up. And then he'd slide in this big box that looked like a really big gift. I'm like, this must be a table saw. And I'd get all excited. I'd rip it open. And it's just a bunch of stuffed newspaper. And every once in a while, there'd be like, you know, the Fleet Farm gloves, the gloves that we had on the farm, Dad, growing up. Like, that's all it was. And there was bricks in the bottom to make it seem heavy. Well, I'm like, game on. So I'm going to get him back. And when Lexi was smaller, we had a box that she'd fit in. And I wrapped the box just so that so the lid could close and it still looked wrapped. And this Christmas, it was just God ordained. We had the box in another room. Lexi hopped in there. I carried it in. And he's distracted by this camera that he'd gotten. And when he finally got done with the camera, again, God ordained, God led, because Lexi, like, she timed it perfect. He put his camera down, he went to reach for the box, and she popped out of the box. It was hilarious. Praise God, he didn't have a heart condition. Still alive today. Hallelujah. But he had the last word, because this Christmas we did a white elephant gift thing, and somehow, again, God led this, I think, somehow as payback, and I got his gift, and I knew it was his gift. I knew nobody else would give this. It was this terribly stuffed woodchuck. We named it Janice, I think. It was so bad. It was so hideous. It was so ugly. The taxidermist was pulling a prank on someone. You'd never put that on your mantle. You wouldn't even put it out on the driveway. It was hideous. And then he put a bow on it, like that was supposed to make it better. What made the gift worse was there was no gift card anywhere in there. Like, I'm like, at least give me a gift card with that thing. I re-gifted that. But every once in a while, you get a good gift from someone. You aren't expecting it, and they just send you a card or a gift card or something. I don't know. You just aren't expecting it, but it's an awesome gift, and it just feels so good. You're just like, wow, God, thank you. What a blessing. And that's Jesus. Jesus only gives us good gifts. He never gives us bad gifts. And this is something the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, they're never bad. They're all good. All these gifts that Paul listed, they're all good. It's just the enemy loves to get in and fester and make it sound like some of them are bad. And sometimes, you know, people make mistakes and give things a bad rap. But I want you to know all of God's gifts are good. Here's a key thing to this chunk of gifts. This chunk, what Paul was saying is not like you get that gift, you get that gift, you get that. Oh, I want that gift, so I'm going to get that gift. No, it's not like that. There's a key word at the end of this, and it's as he wills. As he wills. Not as you want, as he wills. And what God showed me is when I step into the yes, when I say yes to God, when I feel prompted to speak to someone or pray for someone, as he wills, the Holy Spirit kicks in, and now all of a sudden, awesome things God is doing. And I want to go through these. There's 9 total gifts listed, and there's 3 different sections. And I just want to help you understand what they are and what they're for as the band comes up. Not yet. Just give me a few seconds. Revelation gifts. There's revelation. Revelation gifts. These are words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning spirits. These are gifts that God's revealing things to help the situation. He wants to help out. Just today in soap, Peter got the discerned word of wisdom for a solution of the church problem. And words of knowledge, that's what Jesus got with the woman at the well. There's no way he should have known that she had 5 husbands. And then he just said that. It was to help her. Discerning the spirits is important. Don't set that one aside. It's important for you to know what you're dealing with whenever you're dealing with something. Is this from God or is this from the enemy? You want to know that. There's the next one. The power gifts. This is the gifts of faith, healing, miracles. Just know all of these happen today. Like all these happen today. Like God will give you a gift of faith in a terrible situation. Like this is just, I know it's going to happen. I know God's going to get us through this. Pastor Rob has some amazing stories where he's gotten a gift of faith for a situation. And his faith actually gave other people's faith or more faith. Gifts of healings. I've seen miraculous healings over and over again. I've seen ones that baffled doctors. They thought one girl, her hip was healed. In the x-ray, there was definitely a fracture. And then the next time she went in, it was x-rayed, there was nothing. He thought she was punking him, like she was a twin sister or something. Amazing. Gifts of miracles. God can change the weather. I've seen God change weather for weddings. I actually have it documented. God doing a miracle with the weather. Speaking gifts, okay? Gift of gab. Praise God. y'all thought I had a problem. Speaking in tongues, okay? Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Now, speaking in tongues, there are 2 different types, okay? There's 2 different Greek words used. The first one is doria, which is used in Acts 2, 8, 10, and 19. And then there's charisma. That's the one Paul used in 1 Corinthians 12, okay? And that one One is a personal prayer language that's open to all of us. The second is it's like a prophetic outpouring of a word in a tongue, but it needs to be interpreted. I've been in the room when this has happened, and the fear of the Lord was in that room. I just felt it. I could feel God. It was very encouraging. Prophecy is so awesome. Just today and so, four times I wrote prophecy by something in the scripture. They did this in the early church all the time. They were constantly prophesying. They were constantly speaking, encouraging, and comforting, and strengthening one another. Paul and Silas, they go back. They'd comfort and strengthen the church. We need to do this. We need to stop like bashing people. We got to start using our words to strengthen and comfort and encourage people. We should all prophesy. That should be a way of life. It should just be normal. We should always speak well of others. Now, I want to end this. I'm going to close this. I'm going to wrap it up with a quick story of something that happened last week. Now the band can come up. Praise God. I hope this encourages you. If you don't see, like, if you feel like our next generation, there's no hope. I'm telling you, there's tons of hope. God uses the next generation all the time. And something just happened. I wasn't planning. I didn't plan it. But a young man from our Shakopee campus, I saw him at, I think it was Fine Arts. He goes, "Topper, would you come and be a guest speaker at our life group?" And I'm like, "Sure. Like, I love doing that, you know?" And I know his mom. She went to Global Team India with me. And just a great young man. And so I knew, like, I had something that God felt God put on my heart to teach him. It was really cool teaching on something that God showed me. And I just thought, you know, if they want it, it was really to help them with the strategy of reaching their lost friends. But when I went there, I was praying on the way. And I just said, "God, whatever you want to do tonight, it's yours. Like, I don't have an agenda. It's like, whatever you want." And I got there and I told him that. And I said, "Guys, do you want to just do Q&A or what do you want? Do you want me to do this teaching that I got?" And they said, "Let's do the teaching." So I did it. And it, honestly, like, it was better than I thought. It was better than what I felt God gave me when I spoke to them. It was just super edifying, super encouraging, super uplifting, and built us up. And then I got done with the teaching and I was just sitting there and I said, "Hey guys, we got some time." I said, "I got my Bible, I got my oil." I said, "James 5 says to pray for one another and anoint them with oil," and the effective prayer, the faith-filled prayer of a righteous person is powerful and carries great results. I said, what if, does anyone need healing? Physical, do you need emotional healing? Do you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Let's just pray, like, let's see what God does. You know, I didn't have any plan. And this was so cool. One of the girls there, one of the young ladies, she just led. Like, she stepped up. She said, "I'll go." And if you don't know, like, you can lead like that. You can lead. Someone has to go first. But I'm telling you, once that door is open, like, people start lining up. This is how it always goes. And that girl had the courage in front of her peers, and she said, I need healing. I knew she needed healing. She had tons of physical issues going on. She had a concussion. Her ears were aching. She had allergies. I think she had an ankle injury. She had all these physical things going on. And when she stepped up, the Holy Spirit kind of said something in my heart. And I just knew, like, if she gets spiritually healed, God's going to physically heal her. And we all got around her. It was so loving, so awesome. All of her friends are around her. We're praying. I got my worship music going from my phone. And I anointed her with oil. We're praying. And as we're praying, like, something just came out. I didn't know this. I prayed it and I said, "God, if she's ever been abused, would you just heal her right now?" And I'm telling you, something broke in that girl, like, in a good way. And she just started weeping and I had no clue. I came out, I was praying. And she was weeping and weeping and her friends were praying for her. And it was so cool when I got to pray, she prayed. This is so awesome. She prayed. She started asking for forgiveness. She started confessing her sins. She started forgiving whoever hurt her. It was so powerful. It was so awesome. And she got done, and then another girl goes, "I don't have a dad. My dad left me." And I'm like, "Ah." And we just talked about that, and I encouraged her, and I just challenged her. I said, please, will you forgive your dad today? Will you just say yes, at least say yes, and let God show you how to forgive your dad?" And she's like, "Yes." We prayed, and she's praying. She prayed again. It was so powerful. And you just feel God moving in the room. And then she got done, and then the first girl we prayed for, she said, "Guys, my head doesn't hurt anymore. My ears don't hurt. My ankle said, we're going to split up into groups. You can all borrow my oil. You all got a Bible. I said, you need to pray for one another. You need to confess to one another. You need to forgive, and you need to get healed. We're all going to do this tonight. And so they split up, and we just kept praying. It was the most awesome thing I've been a part of in a long time. And when we finally got done, like, there's just awesome things going on. And they came up, they're like, Tom, this is better than camp. If you haven't been to camp and you're like, you don't know what that means, you're missed up. Like, you gotta go to camp. Camp is awesome, and the altars at camp are awesome, and they're powerful, and they're like that. But I hope you know, because of the Holy Spirit moving through us, and because of this text we read, you don't need to drive to camp. You don't need to fly anywhere. God can do it right there in your home through faith-filled prayer. And then another kid goes, Topper, I haven't felt like this since I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I am like, praise God. This is an awesome night. Hallelujah. This is the coolest part. This is the part I want you to grab. I'm going home. Like, it was late. I finally get a text. I'm like, they couldn't stop texting me. They're like, Topper, this is so awesome. And then the next day, I'm getting a text. The kid who invited me, he goes, Topper, I can't stop telling my friends about what God did last night. Like, my friend thinks I'm crazy. Not crazy. He was just like, he was amazed at, like, the energy that he had. And just like, they're just like, he just could tell something was different about him. It was so cool. Then I'm at the conference on Tuesday. This mom, like, I never met her before. And she knew who I was. And she goes, Topper, I just want to thank you so much what you did for my son and my daughter. They were so blessed. They can't stop talking about it. My son, he keeps inviting, telling his friends about what's going on, what God did. She goes, I showed him the book that I'm studying to be a pastor for. It's in the book of Acts. She goes, I showed it to him. She said, son, this is what you're going to read. And she said, he's just devouring it. He can't put it down. She had to finally tell him to go to bed. Do you see what I'm saying, church? This is what happens when you just let God be God. You let the Holy Spirit flow through you. So this is how I'm going to